permissible, then there's no violation of using this method of law. That's the opinion of the Ritva, the Marshal, and the Chazal Mishnah. Three different opinions in the post. So bottom line, well, no one uses an oak today, no one uses cotton. What's used today is either a dial, they call it a diaphragm or a sponge. Basically the same thing. So many posts can say that it's prohibited, on the basis of what we just said until now, that a woman is not in danger, she shouldn't use it, either going to Rashi or any time. Many posts can say it's permissible, based on the Ritva, the Marshal, and the Chazanish. The other posts, the Ritva, the Marshal, and the Chazanish. So three different opinions in the post. So bottom line, well, no one uses an oak today, no one uses cotton. What's used today is either a dial, they call it a diaphragm or a sponge. Basically the same thing. So many posts can say that it's prohibited, on the basis of what we just said until now, that a woman is not in danger, she shouldn't use it, either going to Rashi or any time. Many posts can say it's permissible, based on the Ritva, the Marshal, the Chazanish. And other posts can say it's even more permissible. But you see, in the old days, this smoke was so not unscientific and imprecise that it would fill up the entire cavity to the extent that the male would be able to know whether it was there or not. And therefore, the human seed, when it leave the man's body, would go directly onto this smoke. That's what would contact the male organ. So therefore, it was direct. It was considered, it's called the levatov. However, today, the use of a diaphragm or a sponge in this situation is inserted deep. I thought it was supposed to insert it. The man often doesn't know if it's there or not. There are all kinds of lawsuits about this. I'm not kidding around. Where a woman either put it in when she wore any time, told her husband she wasn't, or boyfriend, or whatever you want to call it today, or didn't put it in and said she did put it in. Either an unwanted pregnancy or an unwanted not pregnancy. There, God says the whole book of the laws about it, which clearly implies that the man can't know if it's there or not. The normal use. And therefore it's not at all, it's no question. Because the male seed is comes out naturally. What happens to it is trip up the canal, banks into something, you know? So that happens all the time. Banks into this, it banks into that, and not everything gets to where it's supposed to go. As long as when the moment that it came out of the male body, it was okay, so then it's not considered to be a problem. So therefore, there are two reasons to permit use of a diaphragm. I want to add a third reason, which is that the diaphragm doesn't work by itself, I'm told. If you don't have a spermicide in conjunction with it, it won't work. The woman can have a diaphragm in there during the when she's with her husband. This will pull it out prematurely, and then she can become pregnant. This indicates that the seed was not did not come out quote unquote in vain at that time. It's still possible for that to impregnate her. She would either remove it or she wouldn't put in spermicides, things of this nature. So therefore, it's the bottom line is that what's preventing the pregnancy is a combination of the diaphragm and the barrier plus the spermicide. And if you assume that spermicide are virtues of the arbutin, then it's really possible that a third reason yet why this method is permissible. Now, we emphasize that it's permissible only in a certain circumstance in which a woman is permitted to avoid having children at that time. Which is not every single case, which we jump to conclusions. And it's a shayla like any other shayla. It's a question like any other question in halacha. And people come to me asking these shaylas on a semi-regular basis. And my psak is, we've discussed in the past once, that before, if they just marry, I'm opposed to it, period. And all conditions except the really serious health problems the woman faces. And once they've had a child, then I feel much more, I use the word today, liberal. It's that they have to take into account the woman's physical health, for sure, and emotional health, and psychological well-being. That, in my opinion, the woman called the shots. And it goes both directions. I've had people, couples fighting with me in both ways. But the long way is that the woman doesn't want to have a child, the man does. That's true. That's the majority case. But it's a very significant minority of the child that comes to me, which is the reverse. wants a child and the man doesn't. My most recent case is exactly that. Who wants a child immediately, let's try. The man said, well, maybe she should wait a little bit. Wait a year. And I'm really, I'm not kidding. It wasn't financial. The man was just a man. I guess he had sleep at night. I don't know. He just couldn't handle it. He felt it was too much of a strain for them as a couple. So we had the boy and the two children back to back. And it was fascinating. And this is people are, you know, very fine couple. Wonderful families, and they're very, really, very fine. But she felt like driven to be able to have more children, body will allow it. And then her husband said, wait a minute. Is this way we're going to have 20 kids? That's how it started. I didn't say anything like that, but it was the rush. It was kind of sharp. Compromise was. I think he wanted to wait 6 months, she didn't want to wait at all, so I said, listen, why don't you wait 3 months? Shlomo HaMelech. Split the difference. But this is a real challenge. You might think it's the reverse all the time. It's not always the reverse all the time. And usually, I told them my general was that the woman always wins. It was a Sheldon bias consideration. You don't want to try to make, there should be any ill will between them. So you try to make some kind of a compromise. On the other bets, which are permissible, again, whenever the halacha states that the children, having children be postponed or stop having children, what other methods are there which are available? Birth control pill. Someone called me just yesterday. Today, the birth control pill, and she started to stain. Stain once, stain twice. Now she wants to get off of it. Enough. What else can she use? Obviously, she was working with the assumption that the pill is permissible. Again, when it's halakhically appropriate to avoid having children. It's permissible because it's no barrier, nothing. It's just a pill. It's gone, it's nothing. The Morris is quite clear that it's permissible. They even had a permanent pill. Easy $1 billion are going to be replicated. Called the cultural ecrine. Why had it in something with the cultural ecrine? I was like, should I make more children? You don't have this permanent pill anymore. I don't know whether that. But permissible, again, whenever it's appropriate to avoid or postpone having children. What else is there? It's IUD, which is a device that causes cancer. It's also permissible. It's not considered an abortion. Some would have it. Abortion means it's a viable pregnancy because you are terminated. The IUD is placed inside the body before anything. So there never was a viable pregnancy. It's not considered to be an abortion. It's permissible. In many ways, it's a very good method. It doesn't involve any insertions on a regular basis. It doesn't involve any pills on a regular basis. This is one. Who wants it then? It could cause staining also. It could cause an infection. It's hard for me to recommend it in the context of a woman who plans to have more children because I was afraid it could make that impossible later. But there are people who use it. There's a good doctor who works. And okay. So really, as I said before, the condom is the worst method you can expect from a horror. Not to speak about tying the tubes. Spoke about way back in 7A, 27 ago, which is prohibited. I think I've covered most of the methods that are being used nowadays. That's what you said. The tongue tools for sterilization.
Even if they can
reconstruct it. Yeah. Some say if they can time, if they can put back all the king's horses and all the king's men, they can put them to back together again. So some say it's permissible. But not everyone agrees to that. And Humpty Dumpty doesn't always work. There are times when women were desperate to get their system working and it doesn't work. Sure, you can try it. It's a big question whether it's if a man feels the vasectomy, is he permitted to discuss that when we went back and said, hey, it's about a married woman. Is it a naming of a reproductive organ or something? It's not, it's internal. I don't want to go back to this again.
The other hormonal methods, like the
that's pills.
It goes in the same category
as
the pills.
Sure. You can stay. same thing as coastal. It's worse than coastal, right, what I've read about.
But it would go into the same category.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
what about this morning after thing that they talk
that's
about?
Like acha, that's both acha. Yeah. Doesn't work, they say.
I don't know. I just,
RU486, is that what it's called?
I don't know how it works. That's used in what we call it, the evidence, after the fact.
Whatever reason, we forgot to use it, or she was attacked, or use that on a regular basis. I don't think the medical community recommends that.
I don't know.
I just
it's not widely used.
What
no,
was.
But also the symptoms of taking it, it makes it very, very nauseous.
Right. It makes the person really sick. I mean, it's like, it's born after the fact situation.
It's an emergency situation. It's not
and that's how it's supposed to be.
Right, right. It's not meant to be, I don't even put that into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And the other method that we use, I don't know about, the pioneer, developed, the latest science. That's all up to date.
It's the female condom.
Female condom, they call it.
Go to the same, would that be like a vote?
They should do things to men now. They say the women have the most.
Take control of their own bodies. And the,
no, they say that the things revert, like their long-term, so some of the long-term health effects are birth control.
I'm still prescribing it to tens of millions of American women as we speak.
Stroke.
As
but
we speak.
Say that
it's
a very
expensive
form. Did you just have one generation of women who are really used to, let's say, the old married
life? I'm telling you that there are women today, I don't know if child, I guess, who are on the pill today, 1996, February, whatever yesterday's day was, 18th, still on the pill. Apparently it's not considered dangerous. Yeah. I'm not a doctor, but like red, if you're overweight, if you smoke, if you have a history of serving your family, if you're older or whatever it is, but that apparently for it's considered to be very safe, it says. There's a little bit of tension. It's stronger, it is, they try to get very low dosages nowadays. For the low dose, you have the most breakthrough bleeding. So it comes like a balance between the halacha and, of course, by the way, they don't care about breakthrough bleeding, so what? But as the woman who was called me yesterday, I said, you know, you have a very effective method of contraception. It's still so effective. You need it all month, there's no problem. That's called abstinence. So that's not a proper halakhic method. But it's also what we call the rhythm method. Or a two-ish rhythm method. One is a famous joke, what do they call people who do it that they call parents? That's but it's number two, is the halakha doesn't encourage that at all. At all. Absolutely not. It's hard enough for 12 days of separation per month, like the halacha imposes with the laws of Diva. So adding on more for the rhythm method here, you know, that's not what the marriage is supposed to be all about. Okay, so we've discussed some of the intricacies of this very sensitive topic. As I said before, the halacha doesn't shy away from anything. All found in print, everything, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rosh Hashanah, it's all there. Next sinner, which is the last sinner, I believe, in the positions, yes, the very last sinner, the sinner of is even more sensitive. It talks about what's called the laws of tznius, of modesty. And there's something that even I won't talk about. Almost anything comes out of here. But some things here are a little bit too much. I want to talk about it to men. As a matter of fact, I recommend, based on what Neuberg has written, if a man wants to know this, he should come to the Rav to discuss it, he should come to me on the day of his wedding. He's too busy taking pictures, so he doesn't come. Or the day before. I don't want to talk about these things to a young man significantly before his wedding, because there's all kinds of delicate things, sensitive things. And the very first line in the Shin Simon is, it should be Kedusha Yisera, Machshava Tahora, Udas Nahona. You should be involved in forbidden activities. You should be involved in seclusion and yichud. You should be involved in stoke and shikras, drunkenness. You know, if you get drunk, anything else. You know, all the inhibitions go away with drunkenness. And I even have a letter in my pocket, which I haven't taken care of, but I don't want to do it. It's a little rights of youth. They recall that I discussed with you the problem about the spread of drug usage among yeshiva high school students. Principals want a very strong statement for you stressing the serious violations of halacha related to drug and alcohol abuse. Yeah, and alcohol abuse. I want to fax the letter this week. I've written it yet, I've faxed it. But it's very serious. Alcohol is a terrible thing. It causes all kinds of anything can happen. Anything. First, drugs, anything. I was telling you recently about this crazy Satan story about that crazy guy. Mm-hmm. The sin was not when he hit his wife for it. I mean, that wasn't the sin. He did that, he wasn't a human being. He was in a completely different world. This wasn't becoming that kind of a person. Whether he overdosed on alcohol, drugs, both, I don't know what the world it was. That was the sin. He was taking the drugs. It's a drug thing, man. It's an animal. So it's the same story over here. Watch out for drugs. Anything can happen. A person should be in balance called Divrei Agavim, which means Divrei Schok Bechesha. Reading these, how do I call it today? Paperbacks. Paperback novels and all of that junk. Shouldn't read that either. And most important, you shouldn't be single. You should be married. Married is a natural need to take care of. And you should learn Torah. That's the opening line. Simon Chafei, the opening sif. Sif Aleph tells you all these things what you should do and don'ts. But then, the remaining 9 paragraphs in this chapter, the Simon tells you very specific details. That a person, how he should talk to his wife. Even in the intimate moments, he should talk like a mensch. And it says in the Chazal, the basis of the pasuk, Magid la'odah ma'asicha. Which means Hashem tells a person what he's speaking about. That's the Chazal interpreting. Afi l'sicha kala shebein odom l'ishto, osim nita l'eras adin. If he speaks inappropriately, he's going to be punished in the world to come for speaking inappropriately to his own wife in complete privacy. That's what it says. Unbelievable. Alright, Shimon Aruch says that it's appropriate to speak to his wife in fond terms, in romantic terms. That's what it says. And there's a famous story in the Gemara about somebody, you're not going to believe it, but I'm telling you, the Gemara has it. Some guy wanted to know what he's supposed to do when the kind of gets married. What are you going to do? So he hid under the bed. And in the middle, he starts asking the Rebbe a question. I don't know why he did it, but the next day, the Gemara has, he writes, he says, under the bed, he says, it seems that the mouth of the Rebbe, and of course, the proper third person under the bed, the mouth of the Rebbe is like the mouth of a sailor. In other words, he was using kinds of expressions which he wasn't used to hearing in the Beis Medrash. So the Rebbe says to him, what? What are you doing here? The classical response, Torah he. The little mo that needs sorrow. I don't know what to do. While the Gemara has it. The Gemara has it. I'm told that in the outside world, they do this prank on new brides and grooms. That they try to plant people in the room, under the bed. I was reading about one of these digests or something like that. I don't know, these crazy things. Wild. But there's a Gemara about it. Whatever you want to know is in the Gemara. I don't recommend doing such a thing. I've never heard of it in today's world. But there was an actual case like that. Then the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, speaks about very nitty-gritty things concerning what's called, how to say it, what the Shulchan Aruch calls Shalom Kedarcha, which means abnormal relation. That's just a literal translation. They call it the anal, or what's called oral, or whatever you want to name it, whatever these mean, and we don't know what some of these things even mean. If Shulchan Aruch talks about it specifically, since it's all prohibited. Not normal. Normal things are permitted. Abnormal things are prohibited. And the man is commanded that when he's involved in this mitzvah, which we read about this last week, O Nasalo Yigra. So he should have in mind that he is fulfilling a mitzvah. If it's appropriate that he's putting the potential for children, he's also going to be proper children. And it should be done in a modest fashion. It should be done when it's dark. After all, supposed to be done by day. Not supposed to be done by day. It's an emergency. It has to be done. I have these cases. This guy described it before. The guy has to have his semen testing. So it's kind of the whole pill. But apparently, you have to get to the doctor within 2 hours or something like that. The toner comes out. So I told him, well, when is the lab open? He said, well, 8 o'clock. Something like that. That makes sense, 8 o'clock? I told him, so you should try to, it should be, the relationship should be 6 o'clock in the morning when it's still dark. So it's these dogs. So he called me back last week. The Rebbe, now the days are getting early, the sunset's getting early, summer's getting early. What do I do now? So I said, listen, if it has to be by day, it's for medical reasons, it's for minutes. But ordinarily, it really shouldn't, it should be done. Of course, there should be proper contact between husband and wife. It should be done when no one knows about it. You should be careful if you're a guest in someone else's house. You have to be careful. There shouldn't be hatred between them at this time. You shouldn't be drunk. Should never mind to divorce her, all these things. He shouldn't be thinking about another woman, even if she's his wife, he's got two wives. He has all this knowledge of her. And there are many other intricacies which I feel are not appropriate to go into at this time. But you can imagine, whatever you want to know is here. And face the Gemara's, you don't have to look at the manuals, you don't have to look in the magazines. Everything you want to know is found in the Gemara of the Shulchan Aruch. And it's important that a person conduct his life based on the halacha, all parts of his life. But we believe that every aspect of life is holy. It's like kedushin is called holiness. Marriage is called holiness. When these activities are done in the proper spirit, it's a tremendous mitzvah. It's a mitzvah which is one of the greatest mitzvahs in the world. If not, it's done like an animal. Then it's an aveira. As a matter of fact, the expression in the Gemara that a person should sell the shirt off his back, the secret that his daughter should marry a Talmud Chacham, should marry a Grob Amoritz. Why? Again, only the Chazal can speak this way. If his daughter marries an Amoritz and does not speak the Torah, who doesn't approach marriage from a Torah perspective, it's like giving his daughter in front of an animal to be trampled upon. Boo-hoo. That's how the Chazal view those who don't have the Torah perspective on the physical relationship. An animal, but a Talmud Chacham, someone a Ben Torah, someone who understands what the halach has to say about things, so that is a completely different kind of, completely different from, it's different as day and night, as far as at least from West. That's what the halach has to say in these last simanim in Hilchos Ishus. Because we conclude Hilchos Ishus, it took us a long time, and we skipped the most, or the longest simanim anyway, but we've completed Ishus. Now we're going to Hilchos Kiddushin, and Ksubas, which go off, are the next time, as I mentioned, you know, it should be again, next week at 9 o'clock. Usually it's 8:30, which meant 9 only, but other technical reasons. Just before I say, next Monday night is no shift. Obvious reasons. Purim. Following that, the regular Pesach workshop. We'll learn more about Pesach. Then we take a break until after Pesach. Once you have a Pesach Shia, that's it. The last 2 weeks before Pesach is never a Shia. You're too busy. And we'll resume Mr. Shema with that talk. We're learning Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer this year. We've learned from, for those who are not new guests, we learned from Simon Aleph, Tul Chapei, until now, which took a long time. We also learned a little bit about what constitutes Chupa, or Simon Nunhei, and we'll do about the rest of what we decide to do of the remaining 107 Simon, and we'll do it Mr. Shema to help after Pesach. But today, a special shiur about prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. It requires quite a bit of background. So deal with it. By Torah law, a man marries a woman, and if chas v'shalom, the marriage doesn't work out, so there exists an option of divorce. Other religions, they don't believe in divorce. The Torah provides a concept of divorce because the Torah knows that some marriages don't work. What is a divorce? A man writes a get to his wife, gives it to her. She's free to remarry. Divorce can only take place with the consent of the husband. By Torah law, the wife's consent is not required. By rabbinical law, Rabbein Gershom, the wife's consent is also required. A get which is under duress is invalid. A woman who remarries without the benefit of a proper get is considered an adulterous relationship with children of stigmatized and mosaic. As you can well imagine, this system, although in the divine, perfect world, we believe the perfect system. We believe fully the Torah is a perfect system. But, like many other perfect systems, it would lend itself to a possible abuse by imperfect human beings. This is no exception. Many imperfect human beings in the past, men refused to issue a get when it should have been, women refused to accept the get when it should have. And this caused all kinds of problems. In today's world, this is known as the Aguna problem. It's quite a sort of a misnomer. The word aguna, as it's found in the classical literature, refers to a woman whose husband is simply missing in action, whether it be in wartime, or whether it be took a business trip overseas and he's never heard of him, never saw him, he's disappeared. That was what aguna was, and the truth of that aguna problem that was pained the Jewish people for centuries is now in, I mean, this is the expression, almost in remission. Almost in remission. People go away and you never hear from them. Today, with modern communication, the world has gotten much smaller and rare that a person disappears and knows where he is. Rare. It happens very rare. There were terrible cases of people that were blown up. And none of the Yomim. There were many cases in the Kippur War. Woo! Perhaps the worst. Were burned in tanks, Hashem Yirach. The Chevet Kedisha, the army, would much worse than that to try to find schools who said they should have a compounded tragedy of a mother who can't be married because you don't know who was it, where, we don't know. But those are rare. What's common in its place is what they call the modern day Aguna. What does that mean? That means a woman whose husband is very much alive, but refuses to grant her a get, she's entitled to. We use the word aguna for that, to include that woman as well. It's a terrible problem. If it happens once, it's once too many. How many agunas are there in America today? I just got in the mail from the Talmud, I believe it was yesterday. Shabbos, came in Shabbos' mail, a paper by a law student or professor named Lisa Zornberg, I don't know if her name, which describes this by the New York Get Law, which is not how it is today, but these statistics. One rabbi said there are at most 50 agunas in America, and one article of the Times said there are 150,000 agunas in New York State. Catch that now again. 150,000 agunas in New York State. So much that you can't trust those things. That's what I'm leading up to. So sometimes it was a mistake. You said 15,000. I don't believe 15,000. Anyone that is 150,000. Both equally ridiculous. They're both ridiculous. An aguna is a woman who's entitled to a get, and by the halacha, but doesn't receive one. It's a terrible situation. Even one is too many. It's really, now, our point now is 50 or 1,000 or 10,000, it's not up to 100,000. One is too many. So what do you do about it? How do you seek relief from this terrible situation? So you beat him up. No, it won't work. If you beat a guy, and I say that get is no good, and I don't want to say what the remarriage situation is or whether the children are like. But the facts speak for themselves. There are rare cases where force is permitted, but they're so rare that we can't talk about it. Almost no cases, really. Well, anyway, that is included in that category. There's an opinion of the Rambam. Rambam said that even in a situation that's much more common, a woman who says about her husband, I can't stand it, moyas alai, and this is what we call a lion with dover, there's this basis for it, onto the bed, that she can compel him to give her a get. If the Rambam is right, then many of these cases will go on at all, would be kosher given. And the man that Rabbi Riskin wrote his doctrinal thesis, and the basic part of all he said was, let's follow the rabbi. That's what very well counsel. Honestly, the deed is going to follow the Rambam. But it won't happen. I give you my word, or at least not in the civil union. It's not going to happen. Because especially in the area of Gittin, be very careful. You can't just take an opinion that we're going to follow this opinion. So this is Shabbanar, okay. Maybe someone might say that. But beyond that, it's really it's not going to go. So, big problem, what do you do? So, you'll ask, well, why did this problem exist 20 years ago? What changed? The answer is, 200 years ago, Jews lived in separate, autonomous communities, given power by the states, the nations in which they resided. And therefore, when a person was told by the Jewish court to give a get, he had very few options. He couldn't join Reform, there was no Reform. He couldn't become unaffiliated, there was no such thing. He could convert to Christianity, yeah, that was an option, but most people didn't want to do that. And so he was stuck. Stuck in his gehillah, which was the rabbi said, give a get. And he was just, there's no other very place to run on. He could have just ignored them, that's true. Running to another community wouldn't help, because in those days they would track them down, and the rabbis would say, you know, these powerful community rabbis would talk to each other. This guy's no good. Don't give him even the most basic courtesies. Couldn't hit him. baby, someone might say that. But beyond that, it's really it's not going to go. So, big problem, what do you do? So, you'll ask, well, why did this problem exist 200 years ago? What changed? The answer is, 200 years ago, Jews lived in separate, autonomous communities, given power by the states, the nations in which they resided. And therefore, the person was told by the Jewish court to give a get, he had very few options. He couldn't join reform, there was no reform. He couldn't become unaffiliated, there was no such thing. He could convert to Christianity, yeah, that was an option, but mostly he couldn't want to do that. Let's say it was stuck. Stuck in a skehillah, which the rabbi said, give a get. And he was just, there's no other very place to run on. He could have just ignored them, that's true. Running to another community wouldn't help, because in those days they would track them down, and the rabbis would say, you know, powerful community rabbis would talk to each other. So this guy's no good, then don't give him even the most basic courtesies. Couldn't hit him, but you could refuse to give him an aliyah, you could refuse to go into a common shul, stop the battle if he walked in. If he has a child, he could not circumcise a child, if he has someone died, someone buried the dead. You can do all kinds of these things. Just withholding from him privileges which normally people are accorded. You can't take away, you can't steal his money, but you can stop doing business with him and take your money. That's it. You have, that's all money they're going to get. There's no one's going to buy anything in their store. No one's going to. That's what they used to do. This is called our Harkakos to Rabbein Natan. Rabbein Natan is one who argued with the Rambam. You can't force a man to divorce his wife because our wife says it's disgusting, even if she has proof. The new is we can introduce what we call our chokos, not the rachol, far. Whereas it's somewhat far, it does not make excommunication, mind you. That's too much of a punishment, but you can keep it far. That was done in communities throughout Europe for hundreds of years. There were always individuals who didn't bow to the pressure, and they just come down. They refused to give the wife a get, they wanted to hold up for money, and our chokos. If I were your spouse, you put in a cost of living in this, like everything else in life. Labor contracts can have a why can't this happen? So it says that they no longer under the same roof for any reason whatsoever, which means we're not going to get involved in this burden of proof, which is so difficult to achieve. Whatever reason, the obligation begins. You give it, let's say, $100 a day. So it's $36,000 a year. That's, depends who you are. The sun.